When I made my schedule to visit in Detroit, I didn't compute that this will be observing Balaram's appearance day in 2 days, and I'll be with you for Balaram's appearance day, which is very nice. Because for several days in a row, I'm just absorbed in thoughts of Balaram and his transcendental position, his wonderful lila. And I thought I would begin this evening just by reading very briefly from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 5, just a few verses. We can hear directly from Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describing the glories of Lord Balaram. Something that we did yesterday evening with a group of devotees, we just asked, starting with the children, when you think of Balaram, what do you think of? What is it that means something very important to you about Balaram? Well, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is interesting because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's also true that Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which could sound like a contradiction. Make up your mind. But one of the uniquenesses of Balaram is he's Krishna's first expansion and is identical, if you read the words of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describing this, but in every respect he's identical except for his complexion. And there's one other difference also. His mood of service to Krishna, because he just wants to serve Krishna. Of course, out of love, Krishna accepts his service, and that's part of how Krishna serves Balaram. Just as how Krishna serves all of his expansions, his direct expansion, plenary expansion, is Lord Balaram. Here's the words of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's pastimes. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarsana. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation. And in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Lord Krishna in various ways. So within those verses, he's explained, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has explained, Balaram's position. He's identical in all respects with Krishna, except his complexion is white as Krishna's complexion, or luster is sham, blackish like a dark rain cloud. And in the mood of serving Krishna, Balaram expands in these five. Mahasankarshan, Ananta Shesh, and the three Purusha avatars, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, and Shirodakshayi Vishnu. These three Vishnu forms are for the purpose of creation of the material world. Balaram actually expands himself in Garga Samhita, as described in a very beautiful way. He expands himself to create the spiritual world, the internal potency of the personality of Godhead has these three features: existence, knowledge, and bliss, or Satchit Ananda, or Sandini Samvidit Sandini. So Balaram, through the expansion of his potency, he manifests the Dham. So wherever Krishna walks, the whole of Goloka Vrindavan, Garga Samhita describes. We've heard Prabhupada give this example, but it's in Garga Samhita, and Rupa Goswami also explains that the Vrindavan Dham is shaped like a lotus, a many hundred thousand petaled lotus. And as the lotus expands and sometimes folds, so also for the purpose of Krishna's pastimes, Balaram, by the agency of his own potency, he expands the lotus to allow for the display of various places of Krishna's sporting pastimes. And he closes the lotus to allow Krishna to go far distances in a short time. I remember when visiting in Vrindavan, devotees, if you, from Krishna Balaram Mandir, if you go by bus to Nandagram, just to ride a bus or take a car, it can take several hours and several hours back. So Prabhupada explained where our Krishna Balaram temple is, Ramanreti. That's a place where it was called Ramanreti because every day Krishna and Balaram, the cows, they would herd their cows in that area. Then again, Krishna would go at night back to Nandagram, and then in the evening he would go into the Keshigat area and enjoy nighttime pastimes with Radharani in the Rasasthali area by Vanshivat, down in the deeper parts of the Vrindavan town. And then he'd go back to Nandagram and pretend to take rest and get up in the morning to herd the cows again. So the devotees asked Prabhupada, that's a big distance. How did Krishna move that big distance so much every day? Just a small boy. And Prabhupada explained, the lotus sometimes opens and sometimes closes. Just like in the presence of the sun, the lotus will open, and at night when the sun sets, the lotus closes. So by, it didn't have to depend upon day and night. By his will, Balaram, wishing to serve Krishna, expands the whole of Vrindavan and makes the arrangement so that the places of Krishna's pastimes are manifest and Krishna can easily reach whatever place he wishes without any difficulty. Of course, that's not required either, because Krishna could travel distances without any limitation as he wishes. But he gives Balaram this nice service. Mahasankarshan, of these five features that are mentioned, Mahasankarshan manifests the spiritual abode, the Vaikuntha planets and Krishna Loka, and for that matter, all of the paraphernalia that Krishna uses. We discussed this briefly, but Krishna uses shoes, and he has peacock feather, and he has a flute, and sometimes there's an umbrella, and sometimes there's a bed. And all of the paraphernalia that Krishna uses, it's manifest by Lord Balaram, because he just wants to serve Krishna. And in his feature of the personality of Godhead, Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna manifests as Narayana, and Balaram manifests as his seat, his sitting place, his throne. But not only his throne, but a throne with hoods that can cover the throne, just like a nice canopy over an altar. So this is an antashesha. Just like when Krishna was being carried by Vasudeva from one side of the Jamuna River to the other side, from Mathura to Gokul, it was the dead of night, and it was a stormy night, and so all the stars in the sky, all the celestial luminaries were covered by the storm clouds. But Vasudeva could easily see, because Anantashesh has on his hoods jeweled ornaments that were luminous, and they were lighting up the night along with Krishna's own body being self-effulgent. And he was protected from the storm by the hoods of Anantashesh that were serving as his umbrella. Balaram, in his expansion of Anantashesh, serves the personality of Godhead in that way. And because Krishna desires that his part and parcel living entities, even those rebellious of him, have some facility, he expands himself as Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Shiradakshay Vishnu. And he's seated in the hearts of all living beings. This is the expansion of Balaram. The way that it's described in scripture is Krishna reveals himself through his words. This is Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. The words of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita, that's Krishna Katha. Krishna speaking. But the agency through which Krishna presents those words to others is Balaram. And similarly, the person who repeats those words of Krishna, this is the function of Guru. And Balaram is the original Guru. And anyone else who performs that service of imparting the same instruction that Krishna gives is assisting Balaram in disclosing the personality of Godhead Krishna. So, Balaram likes to serve Krishna. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that all living entities, our constitutional position is that of servants, eternal servants of Krishna, constitutionally, and that mood of service is imbibed from Balaram. So we can't get away from Balaram. We shouldn't want to either. But in all respects, in spiritual life, we're dependent upon him. And on his appearance day, coming in 2 days from now, so this is just warm up, it's very special opportunity to remember our dependence upon Lord Balaram and our opportunity to gain spiritual strength from Balaram, because to execute devotional service to Krishna, we need to be strong. And we're very weak because we're very tiny. And the material energy is very, very powerful. The Bible teaches the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I was conducting a home program somewhere in the middle of the United States a couple of years ago. And the rule of thumb for persons who are experienced in this, when you're having a home program, however many people that you invite, maybe half of them will say that they will come. And of those that say to come, maybe half of them will come. And they'll come late. The regular devotees will come on time, and you don't have to worry about that. But so some family was very enthusiastic because middle of the United States, it was in Tennessee, they don't get a lot of visiting, so Yasu so was visiting. And they were very enthusiastic to have a program. So I asked them, what's the audience going to be? Oh, we're going to have 30 families coming. I said, yes, 30 families? Oh, yes, they've all said yes. So I told them the rule of thumb. They said, no, all of them are coming. I said, okay, we'll see. We'll have a very introductory lecture because you're expecting all these new people to come. Yes, that would be very good, thank you. So, sure enough, when I got there, it was the handful of regular families and none of the 30 families that he had asked had come yet. But of those families that were there regular, they had a number of children, so I had the children sit up front and said, I'll begin speaking to you, and when those families that come late, they can hear an introductory lecture because I'll just be explaining things to you. I said, yay! Okay. So the class began this way. Please answer the following question. So this is for the kids to answer. A spirit soul wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. For that reason, he comes to the material world. Actually, he has a very happy place in the spiritual world. But for no good reason. You can't give a good reason for it. Just rebelliousness. Misuse of free will. No good reason at all. Just thinking, why does he always have to enjoy? Why not me? Why can't I be the center? At least some of the time. It's only fair. I mean, he can be the center sometimes, but I should be the center sometimes too. Democracy. So with that rebellious spirit, one comes to the material world. And one tries to enjoy, and guess what happens? It turns into misery. So what does one do? One tries to find that, how to make, what went wrong? Why was it misery instead of enjoyment? And so one makes adjustments. And one goes through a whole series of trying to make adjustments, trying to very cleverly arrange things. And lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, it goes on like that. And finally, the soul comes to the conclusion, this isn't a good program. I think I want to go back to Krishna. But it's not that easy to just go back to Krishna. Why can't you just go back to Krishna? Just do a U-turn. Retrace your steps and go back to Krishna. What do you think is the answer? So the kids were, enthusiastically raising their hands and saying different things. And one little girl, 6 years old, sitting right up front, she raised her hand. And she said, the soul is saying yes, but the senses are saying, I want sense gratification. And another boy enthusiastically raised his hand and said, and the mind is saying, I don't want to give up my independence. Okay, they got the program. I want to enjoy. And I don't want to give up my independence. So the senses and the mind are dragging us. And our spiritual desire is not sufficiently strong. So we need strength. We need the conviction that that's really what we want to do. But even if that's the conviction that that's what we want to do, we need strength. We need Balaram's strength. And so we have this nice mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. I was conducting a japa retreat in the Seattle area this summer in June, and I had a very nice experience in relation to Lord Balaram. I'll give you some advice whenever you're attending a japa retreat. Eat very lightly, especially if you're getting a little on in age like some of us are. Because I was so much looking forward to, I've had this experience several times, I'm so much looking forward to the experience of chanting 64 rounds with assembly of devotees that are absorbed in the holy name. I know that that experience is very wonderful, so I was very excited. There, anticipation is important in chanting nicely. So, I was like, you know, on the runway from early in the morning, zoom, 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 and just flying. And then we had breakfast. And I was having a hard time chanting with attention. So I remembered one of the techniques that is described that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj recommended. A process called prataka, where you, with your eyes visually, you follow the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then continue. So I was having a hard time focusing on anything. I was just a blur. So I was taking this advantage of this trataka exercise. And as I was chanting, it wasn't just a mechanical thing. It was calling. Krishna, please attract me unto you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then when came to the Hare Rama portion of the mantra, it was a call to Lord Balaram for strength, because there's this attraction of Krishna that's required to advance in spiritual life, become absorbed in the holy name, to become absorbed in devotional service. But we require strength, and that strength comes from the supreme strength or the supreme strong. So I don't know what happened, but that crash just, I something like, you know, 2 hours passed before I even knew what was going on. I was just absorbed in calling, seeing the mantra, because there was deities of Gornatai, and just on the opposite side of the deities of Gornatai was this mantra sign. I put it there specifically. And Tulsi Devi, and wow. I was taken to another dimension. Somehow my food digested too. And it was amazing. And the thing that stopped is I realized I'm chanting very so loudly. Because I normally chant very softly. I'm probably disturbing some other people, so I stopped that. But I should have continued. Anyway, when we're calling upon Balaram for strength, spiritual strength, he's very merciful. And you'll find spiritual strength in that call. And to become attracted to the all-attractive We just have to pay attention to the all attractive, because he's all attractive, and he'll attract our hearts out of this material circumstance and into the spiritual realm. So I wanted to describe one lila that you're all very familiar with, but it's nice to hear Krishna's lila again and again, even if we're familiar with it, that illustrates very directly the non-difference between Lord Balaram and his expansions of the Purusha avatars. And let's see if I can get this to work. Krishna returns to Mathura, because Krishna was born in Mathura, but then he made his appearance shortly after, the very evening that he was born, in Vrindavan. But we know that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Right? Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So how is it that Krishna entered Vrindavan and then left Vrindavan? So our Acharya is described like this. When Vasudev was carrying Krishna, baby Krishna, across the river Jamuna, he had a basket and a cloth that he was carrying along with an antashesh over his head to protect Krishna from the rain. And he was moving through the river Jamuna. The river parted. We know this story from the Bible, the parting of the Red Sea. The river Jamuna parted to allow Vasudev to carry Krishna across the river. Otherwise, how did he make it across the river? But as he was walking slowly, Krishna slipped from his hand. Have you ever heard that before? Krishna slipped from his hand and fell into the river Jamuna. Those of you that are parents, think about that. The very first night of the birth of your child fell into the river. Vasudeva is looking and looking and looking. Then he found Krishna. Because, so Acharya has described, it was Vasudev Krishna that fell into the river, and it was Swayam Bhagavan Krishna that entered into his arms. So it was, Krishna never left Vrindavan. Krishna entered into his arms that way. And then he took Krishna by the side of Mother Yashoda, just as Krishna had instructed him to do, and he placed Krishna by her side and took the female child that had been born of Mother Yashoda and brought that female child back to the prison. Then there was a situation where Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. So that's what this is we're going to describe quickly. Okay. So the prelude to this is the demons that Kamsa had sent to kill Krishna one after another. The one just before Krishna went to Mathura was in relation to the killing of the Aristasura demon. When the Aristasura demon came down the road from Mathura to Vrindavan, he was so huge that his horns were as tall as trees. His whole body was mammoth. And as he walked, the whole earth shook. And the gopis saw him coming and they were very fearful. And so they, what do the gopis do when they feel fear towards something? They turn to Krishna. And when they saw the blackish tamal trees, they embraced the blackish tamal trees. Oh Krishna, please help us. Protect us from this Aristasura demon. So Krishna came, and that Aristasura broke off one of his huge horns and used the horn to smash him on the top of the head, and he was finished. Thus ends Aristasura. And that same afternoon, the killing of the Aristasura demon is when the Radhakund and Shyamakund Leela, the creation of Radhakund and Shyamakund, took place. Just after that, according to the narration in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was a very unusual event. Narada Muni visited Kamsa's palace. And when Narada Muni visited Kamsa's palace, Kamsa, although he was a demon, demon because he hated Krishna, he had culture. He was the son of Ugrasena and a member of the royal dynasty, and he was actually a very elevated by birth personality. So when Narada came, he received him very nicely. And because he was received so nicely by Narada, Narada said, my dear king, you have served me so nicely, I want to disclose something to you. Before I came to see you, I was passing through the heavenly regions. And in the heavenly regions, the demigods were having a demigod conference. And they were discussing about the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who was coming to take birth on the other side of the Jamuna River. And that very same person, Kamsa, that same person who killed your brother, that same person who in your previous life killed you, is now awaiting in Gokula. Kamsa, you're very powerful. Do the needful. Now why did Narada speak like that? Our acharyas described he was very anxious to see the pastime of Krishna unfold. He wanted Krishna to quickly come to complete his pastimes. After Narada visited Kamsa, Narada went to go visit Krishna. Did you know that? Narada went to go visit Krishna. And he wanted Krishna to come to Mathura and kill Kamsa. But he's a devotee, so how is he going to tell Krishna what to do? So he, and Narada's expert. He came to visit Krishna. Krishna received him as a king, the son of a king would receive a brahmana. He received him very, very nicely. So Narada began speaking in this way. My dear Krishna, I long to see that day when you will go to Mathura and you will kill the wicked King Kamsa. King Kamsa has imprisoned your mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, and they are suffering so much at the hand of Kamsa. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they haven't even seen you from the day that you were born. They will become so happy when you go to Mathura, destroy Kamsa, and place Ugrasena on the throne. I long to see the day when Jarasandha and so many other demoniac kings are destroyed by your power, and you will bring majesty and relief to the whole of the earth who came before you. and Swetad Weep and pleaded with you to give relief of the demoniac kings. Krishna, I long to see that day. Krishna was so much absorbed in the mood of Raja that he had forgotten the purpose of his appearance. So he said to Narada, I will go tomorrow. Narada said, that is wonderful. I want to see all this take place. And Narada left. After Narada left, Kamsa was immediately ready, pulling upon his sword, ready to make a plan. Immediately, a demoniac person is making his plan how to kill his enemy and become victorious. The divine and demoniac nature is very clearly described in Bhagavad Gita. So Kamsa called the best of his ministers. When Kamsa imprisoned Ugrasena, Ugrasena was the king of the whole dynasty. Kamsa was such a wicked person that he imprisoned his father and imprisoned his sister and brother-in-law. And everybody else in the Yadu dynasty and Bhoja dynasty, they fled for their lives. Some remained only with the understanding that to remain meant you stayed in the service of Kamsa. Otherwise you're dead. Akura was one of those that stayed because he knew, he was a great devotee, he knew that soon Krishna would appear. He had never seen Krishna, but he knew that Krishna would appear and he wanted to see Krishna. So when Kamsa called him, Akura. There's a family tree. There's Akura, son of Shvapalka. Over here on the lower right is Kamsa, son of Ugrasena and brother of Devaka. And there's Devaki. So Devaki married Vasudeva. And that's exactly how Kamsa and Devaki, they're not exactly brother and sister, but they were called brother and sister. There's a whole other story of how Kamsa became born. Anyway, down at the bottom, on the right-hand side, is Kamsa hearing from Narada Muni. Can't tell, so well, Narada Muni's got a veena over his shoulder. There he's calling for Akura. Down here he's meeting with the two wrestlers, Chandur and Mushtika. There's Kubal Yapida. There he's sending Keshi. His plan was, he was going to send two demons first. Keshi was first, and then Vyomasura. And if for some reason that didn't work, he told Akura, I'm sending you. I trust you. You're a very qualified minister. You can do it, Akura. You can bring Krishna here, and I have a plan. My plan is, Kubal Yapida will surely kill Krishna. And if Kubal Yapida doesn't kill Krishna, Chandra and Mushtika, powerful wrestlers, these small boys, they'll rip them to shreds and finished. Bring Krishna here. I want to destroy him. Akura said, I'm your minister. Let me give you some advice. You're inviting death to come to your kingdom. But because you're the king and I'm your minister in your service, I'll go. But I'm advising you. You're inviting death to your doorstep. Kamsa had arranged a golden chariot, thinking, you know how a person thinks like that, others think like me. Akura will be really impressed. I got a golden chariot for you. Like, you know, Rolls Royce is waiting for you just outside in the parking lot. A golden chariot. So Akura took the chariot and made his way the next day. But that very same day, Kamsa sent Keshi. There's a little description in Garga Samhita that goes like this. That Keshi came in two consecutive days. The first day that Keshi came, it just so happened that morning, Balaram, who likes to serve Krishna, was feeling, I'm not protecting my brother. He's killing all the demons. It's been quite a while, but I've killed Keshi. No, it's killed Dhenukasura and Palumbasura. I should be protecting my brother. So he asked Krishna for his permission. May I one day borrow your peacock feather and your flute? And that way I can also call the cows, and if some demon comes, I can be the one to kill the demon. Krishna embraced his brother with great warm hug and embrace and said, certainly, today you take my peacock feather and you take my flute. So when Keshi was sent by Kamsa, Keshi asked, how do I tell who is Krishna? He said, oh, he's the one that has the flute and the peacock feather. That's how you can tell amongst all the cowherd boys. So when Keshi came, he came charging into the assembly of the cowherd boys, and there was Balaram with the peacock feather and Krishna's flute. And Keshi kicked him with full force. And Balaram went flying some distance, and his whole chest was in great pain. So at the end of the day, when he went home, he was complaining to his mother, my chest hurts so much, broken knee. What do I do? I want to give this peacock feather back to Krishna. Never again I want to have that peacock feather to food. Garga Samhita describes like this. But then Keshi heard that Krishna wasn't killed. So Keshi came again. This time, Krishna finished Keshi by reaching inside his mouth. His hot fist became like molten metal, and the pain was so intense that Keshi screamed. And Krishna knocked Keshi, and Keshi was finished. And the other demon that was sent shortly, the same day, shortly thereafter, was Vyomasura. There's a little description from Brahmavibharata Purana and Garga Samhita, who they were in their previous life. Keshi, in his previous life, was Suparshvaka, one of the brothers of the Gandharvas. Gandharvas who became Palumba and Bakasura. And according to Garga Samhita, in his previous life, Vyomasura was a great devotee king named Bhimaratha from Varanasi. After some time, the king renounced his kingdom, went to the Malaya Hills to perform austerities, and Palastamuni came by at that place where he was undergoing his austerities. But the king was so absorbed in his austerities, he didn't properly respect Palastamuni. Palastamuni cursed him that he would become a demon. But after pleading, but I was absorbed in my meditations and my austerities, very well you'll be delivered by the personality of Godhead directly in the following yuga. So Bhimaratha then took birth as Vyomasura, the son of Mayasura. And Vyomasura disguised himself as a cat. And that whole Leela was enacted where Krishna killed Vyomasura. So now, Akura has to visit Krishna. It's described when Akura went, the auspicious day was scheduled, and he left very early in the morning at the beginning of dawn. And those of you that have been to Vrindavan and Mathura. Has anyone been to Vrindavan by going from Delhi to Mathura by train? Yeah? So when you go from the Delhi train station to Mathura train station to Vrindavan, how long does it take? Mathura train station to Vrindavan.
45 minutes.
And if any of you go, I said one time I decided I wanted to go by Tanga, horse drawn, you know, like in the mood of Akura entering Vrindavan. And what happened was, once I was on the tongue, it was very bouncy, like, you know, not no shock absorbers, and so it was a very rough ride. And halfway there, it was tea time for the driver and drinking water time for the horse. So he stopped at a place where there's a trough of water and horses can drink. And he went to go get his tea. But the horse was finished drinking the water before he was finished drinking his tea. So the horse was kind of on automatic pilot. So he just like stopped drinking water and started going to Vrindavan. And I'm riding on the back of the Tanga saying, you know, how do you give a command to the horse? I was saying, whoa! That wasn't the right signal. Stop! That didn't work either because, you know, I didn't speak Hindi or bridge. And then the driver came running out of the place when he was drinking his tea and running down the road. He just said the words and the horse stopped. And I realized, wow, this is like the senses out of control. You need the mind to control the senses. And if the mind isn't in control, you're not going to control the senses. It's very dangerous, very fearful circumstance. Material life. You've got to have a good driver that knows the commands to keep the senses under control. But it didn't take that long. And he had this golden chariot with four horses. It took him all day long because he was so much absorbed in thought of Krishna that it wasn't until the end of the day that he reached there. He was going all over the place. He didn't even know where he was. Oblivious. Absorbed in thought of Krishna. And that chapter of Akura entering Vrindavan is very, very wonderful. He achieved spiritual perfection just from that chariot ride. Because he was offering prayers to Krishna in his mind, he was anticipating what it would be like to see Krishna. Like Rukmini, she only heard of Krishna. But just hearing of Krishna was so wonderful. She gave her heart completely to Krishna. And Akura wasn't Madhurya Rasa, it was Dasya Rasa. He had the mood of service towards Krishna. And as a servant, the prayers are very clear. He was describing what it would look like when he would see Krishna, because Krishna would have been herding the cows all day long, so his darkish complexion would be made ashen by the dust raised by the hooves of the cows. And Krishna would have beautiful lotus-like eyes, decorated with kajal below those eyes that Mother Yasoda had placed there in the morning, but some drops of perspiration would have dropped the kajal down his cheeks. And he was describing his curly hair and his peacock feather and his flute pressed through his lips, calling the cows very joyfully, and the cows dancing, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute with their tails raised in the air and mooing very loudly as they heard Krishna calling on his flute. And so many ways he was just absorbed in thought of Krishna. And then he saw Krishna. Well, first he saw the footprints of Krishna in the soft sand of Vrindavan. When he saw the footprints of Krishna, he was so absorbed in thought of Krishna, he fell out of the chariot. And he rolled on the ground in the dust, marking the place of Krishna's footprints, offering prayers with great ecstasy. It's a very famous pastime, so it has many paintings illustrating it. And then he saw Krishna is standing by the side of the Goshal. Well, there's different descriptions. One is that he was in the field with the cows. Another is here, just by the side of the Goshal. And he wanted to offer his, because he is the mood of servant, so he wanted to offer his deep respects to Krishna. But Krishna is telling him, no, you're my uncle. I should offer respects to you. Don't do like this. And Akura told him the purpose of his visit. He told him in detail Kamsa's plan and everything. And Krishna said, very well, we'll go in the morning. Let me take you to the house of Nanda Maharaj. There we can spend the night because the day is now finished. And in the morning, we'll go to Vrindavan and go to Mathura. So the residents of Vrindavan, they heard of Krishna's soon departure. Again, there's many wonderful descriptions of this. Another I just read in Garga Samhita. Radharani received message. So Krishna, she became devastated. Krishna knew that she would be devastated, so he couldn't sleep. So he went to the home of Vrishvanu. And there he pleaded with Radha to please allow him to go. I've come to this world for this particular reason, to destroy Kamsa and to relieve the burden. I'll come back very soon. And Radharani was saying, you'll come back finding me dead. I can't maintain my life without you. Please don't go. And back and forth conversation. He said, I'll come back very soon, I promise. Very soon. It may take some months, but I'll come back every month. And I'll promise you I'll come on the basis of Krishna's promise. The gopis were able to maintain their lives. But this incredible scene of the next morning, Akura seated in the front of the chariot, Krishna and Balaram in the back of the chariot, taking Krishna to Mathura. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there is such a wonderful description of this leela. Narada says it's such a leela. The pain of the residents of Vrindavan feeling separation from Krishna is so terrible. We don't normally even describe it, because when people hear the pain of the residents of Vrindavan, they think, forget it. I'm not going to get attached to Krishna. I'll have to undergo that pain, feeling separation from Krishna. But once he starts speaking about it, he can't stop speaking about it. The scene of thousands of gopis, normally they would conceal their outward affection for Krishna, but when Krishna was leaving, they abandoned that shyness and threw themselves before the horses, embraced Krishna, please don't go, grabbing the reins of the horses, pulling their hair, the cowherd boys embracing Balaram, crying, please don't go. Such a terrible scene. But sure enough, they got on the chariot, and Akura was very expertly trying to, because the gopis were keeping themselves right in the path, so the chariot couldn't go anywhere. So he had to go around the gopis. It's such a difficult scene. I like this little pencil drawing on the left side. One gopi's got her head right in front of the wheels. Better to give up my life than Krishna leave. So there's so many artistic renderings of different styles of this pastime. But Krishna left. And when Krishna left, there's the With Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, he has this wonderful yatra that we went together when we were in Vrindavan. Krishna's going from Nandagram and the different places where the chariot of Akura stopped on his way to Mathura, to the wrestling arena where he met Kamsa. But here's one of the places where he stopped, and there's Akura taking his bath in the river Jamuna, and there's Lord Vishnu reclining on Anantashesha. So the scene was that as Krishna and Balaram wanted to go to Mathura with Akura, on the way they stopped by the side of the river Jamuna, and Krishna and Balaram requested, "Akura, we'd like to take our bath before we go to Mathura. So leave the chariot here." So they went to take their bath, and they came back in the chariot, and Akura then asked for their permission, "May I also take my bath now that you've completed yours?" And they smiled and said, "Sure." So when Akura went to take his bath, he saw first in the river Krishna and Balaram in the river. And when he saw Krishna and Balaram in the river, he was bewildered because they were just seated in the chariot. So he went back to the chariot, and there were Krishna and Balaram in the chariot. I'm seeing things. So he went back to the river, and there, instead of seeing Krishna and Balaram, there you see, well, I don't have my laser pointer. In the lower right is Krishna and Balaram, but over here you see Mahavishnu, on the lower left, within the river. That was his vision. Not only he saw Anantashesh and the forearm form of Lord Narayan, but he saw all the hosts of demigods. Narada Muni and Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and all the Gandharvas and Siddhas and Charanas and Indra, all surrounding the personality of Godhead, offering their beautiful prayers to him. So Akura, seeing this amazing scene, finally returned back to the chariot. And when he came back to the chariot, he saw Krishna and Balaram sitting there smiling. And Krishna and Balaram said, "My dear uncle, did you see something wonderful just now?" And Akura said, "You who are the very source of the cosmic manifestation, the source of everything that exists in the spiritual and the material realm, seated here on my chariot, this is seeing something wonderful. Let us go to Mathura." So Krishna and Balaram then entered Mathura, just outside the city of Mathura, outside the wall surrounding Mathura, on the chariot of Kamsa. So that ends our discussion for the evening. But in this lila, Krishna is showing that he is non-different than Lord Narayan, or Lord Narayan is non-different than Krishna, and Balaram is no different than Anantashesh. He who wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of anything that he requires. So his sitting place, his bed, his shoes, all of his paraphernalia. This is the service of Lord Balaram unto the Personality of Godhead. And we, as devotees practicing devotional service, we gather or gain the strength for our devotional service through that same mood as Balaram. In whatever way Krishna wishes for us to serve, when we have that spirit awakened in our hearts, Balaram gives us the strength so that whatever it is that's required, one can do by his grace. And most important, to leave behind the stronghold of material sense gratification, the senses that want to enjoy, and that mind that wants to hold on to a spirit of independence from the Supreme Lord will have sufficient strength to overcome that and progressively make our march back home, back to Godhead, following the nice teachings that we have from Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas. So this is just a warm up for our follow-up experience today. I encourage you to read, because it's always auspicious on auspicious days to meditate on the appearance days of the Lord and the leelas of the Lord. It will help our spiritual advancement to take advantage of Lord Balaram's appearance day in that way. I look forward to being again with you on Tuesday evening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Lord Vimalam ki jai.